Rachel Louise Snyder is the author of several books. Her most recent is entitled No Visible Bruises: What We Don't Know About Domestic Violence Can Kill Us. And it's been on the New York Times bestseller list since it was released last year. The book is about domestic violence and the soaring rates of violent cases in this country.
For starters, it comes from a piece I did for the New Yorker on traumatic brain injury and strangulation in domestic violence victims. And so that was a kind of narrower view, obviously. But what you learn when you're studying a strangulation or traumatic brain injury, particularly with domestic violence victims, is that most of the time there's nothing visible that you can see when you're looking for physical injuries, right? You can't see someone's traumatic brain injury. But you also can't see someone's control over another person's life. You can't see someone's fear. There's all these intangibles that exist around domestic violence. And we always, you know, whether we're law enforcement or whatever, we're always looking for the obvious. We're always looking for a bruise. You know, we're always looking for an injury of some sort. And by doing that, it's really like, you know, the forest through the trees kind of thing. You don't see the bigger picture. In my book, I talk about a man who at one point they lived in Montana, and he went to the outskirts of Montana, and he got a rattlesnake, and he brought it home, and he kept it in a cage in his house, and he told his wife that he was going to put it in bed with her or put it in the shower with her if she did anything to upset him. No visible injury is necessary in order to control someone in a situation like that.
But the cruelty,
yeah.
The mental cruelty.
Yeah. It's absolute terrorism. You know, one of the things I found in my book is that they've done brain scans now of domestic violence victims who are under this kind of tyranny, really, like familial tyranny, and their brain scans mirror those of prisoners of war.
Wow. Talk about your experiences then as you, you know, worked as a journalist and saw all these things.
You know, I'd been a foreign correspondent for years. I lived in London. I lived in Cambodia. I've traveled widely. And I had done what I considered back in the 90s what we called women's issues. We know a little better now, partially thanks to Hillary Clinton. We now know to call them human rights issues, for example. So I had done stories on child brides in various countries. I had done stories on gang rape as sport in places like Cambodia. I had done women imprisoned for love crimes in Kabul. And, you know, all kinds of stories like this. And domestic violence really was a sort of shadowy background in all these stories, so much so that it really wasn't even on my radar. It was like, oh, of course that 13-year-old girl in Niamey who just got married off to a 45-year-old man is beaten by him. But that's not the story. The story is child marriage, right, or whatever. And it wasn't until I moved back to the U.S. after living abroad for a number of years and met a woman named Suzanne DeBuse who had been working on developing a way to predict domestic violence homicide in order to prevent it. And she was using these 20 high-risk indicators that are things like strangulation, access to a gun, beatings while pregnant, forced sex. There's a lot of markers. This just blew me away, and it blew me away for several reasons. One was that I realized as a you know, feminist, educated feminist who traveled the world, that I was buying into a set of myths I didn't realize I was buying into, like that if things were bad enough, victims were just free to leave. I didn't know that they weren't. And number two, that if I didn't know about it, it meant that the system that I was primarily involved in, which was the media, was not getting this story right. And so my book is an attempt to correct my system, in a
well,
sense.
We're just coming off of International Women's Day, and there were protests around the world and concern about the backlash from the Me Too movement. How do you view all of that?
Having lived outside of America for so long, International Women's Day is a big deal. Like in Cambodia, for example, I mean, this year it was on a Sunday, but in Cambodia, it is a holiday. It is a day off. You said protests around the world. That's true. There were protests around the world. In the U.S., not so much. In the U.S., we might post it on Twitter. That's about it. I mean, it just goes by without a whisper. And I think that, to me, that illuminates part of the problem. We are, in theory anyway, a global leader. And look at what we do with this day that around the world is recognized as a holiday, but not here.
So do you think we're in denial?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I think we've been in denial for 400 years. But I think, you know, I think we have blinders on. I think we don't know what we don't know. And certainly I think there's a backlash to Me Too. You know, when my book came out last May, right before it came out, new research was published. You can read about this in the New York Times and multiple papers, that domestic violence homicides, which had been rising in this country since 2013, have been spiking since 2017, and they are up 33% in the U.S., 33%. I mean, to me, like, why are we not out there screaming about this every day? 137 women are killed every day around the world from domestic violence homicide. 137 killed on International Women's Day.
Yeah, so it's an epidemic. It's a pandemic, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
We look at the headlines just with the virus, but yeah, we have something in our community that is equally frightening and violent.
And violent, that's right. And, you know, there's a new UN, a report that was just put out by the UNDP, UN Development Program, last week that's been widely reported on, that not a single country in the world is on par to meet its gender equality goals by 2030. Not one.
That's sad.
Yeah. You know, what I really want people to understand is that if they are not standing at the receiving end of a punch, that doesn't mean that domestic violence doesn't affect them profoundly. Right, it intersects. It is the leading cause of homelessness for women in this country. It's one of the leading causes of mass incarceration. When you look at incarcerated men, for example, you find 80% of them, roughly, have domestic violence in their backgrounds as children, either as victims or witnesses. When you look at women incarcerated, that number goes up to about 92% when you include sexual assaults. So when we are telling the story of poverty, when we're telling the story of gender inequality or homelessness, or mass shootings, that's another one that I could talk about for a half an hour or 3 hours, however much time you'll give me. When we talk about these other stories, poverty, homelessness, mass shootings, mass incarceration, we are talking about domestic violence, and that's what I want people, lawmakers, the judiciary, clergy, your neighbor, that's what I want people to understand.
We were talking with Rachel Louise Snyder, author of No Visible Bruises, this morning. She's in town for a talk tonight at 5:30 at the John A. Burns School of Medicine. It is part of the University of Hawaii's Better Tomorrow Speaker Series.